Welcome to Advancing Word with Dr. T.D. Stubblefield. In chapter 55 of Isaiah, verse 11, God tells the prophet, "So will my word be which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." Standing on this promise, T.D. Stubblefield Ministries is committed to sharing biblical principles with individuals, families, churches, communities, and our world, believing that only the Word of God can advance us in God's perfect plan for our lives, where we can experience liberating faith, lasting hope, and unconditional love in a relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here is Dr. T.D. Stubblefield with today's Advancing Word.
As we prayed about sharing with you this first night on this Palm Sunday, I want us to turn to chapter 1 of 1 Peter, beginning at verse 18, and I want to read down to or through verse 25. Let us begin reading. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." May the Lord bless his word. Tonight as we share, I want to lift this thought up before you as we focus on this text and its larger context in 1 Peter. I want to preach a little while about proof of purchase. Proof of purchase. As I prayed about sharing with you this evening, my mind ran down three corridors, three corners, three contours of thought as it relates to this passage. First of all, of course, thinking about this occasion and what it represents chronologically in the Christian calendar. This is Palm Sunday, and it is important for us, it is imperative for us, as we began this week of remembrance, as we began this week of celebration, as we began this week of commemoration, reflecting upon what the Lord did for us, that we think about the implications of his passion, all those things that transpired subsequent to his, our Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's important this week that the church makes a positive ID. It's important that we do that. And so one corridor of thought, one area of reflection as I thought about this passage was, of course, this service of revival beginning on Palm Sunday and all this week holds for us. Another card of thought is that I'm always encouraged when I read 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and when I read the Gospel of Mark, because we need to understand that when we read the Gospel of Mark, Peter is in the background of Mark. Peter and Mark were companions. They had much in common. One of the primary things they had in common was they both had experienced failure. And
And so you have to understand that when you read the Gospel of Mark, that Peter is in the background. When you read 1 Peter and 2 Peter and when you read Mark, one of the things that jumps out at you, and this is true of the general epistles in the New Testament, and your theme focuses on Romans, justification by faith. The general epistles or the Catholic epistles, the focus is on the justification of faith. And so we see this tension when we read 1 Peter and 2 Peter between holiness and harmony, between possession and profession, between faith and fortitude, between belief and behavior. It's as if Peter is wrestling with some concern for certainty, some concern for validation, some concern for verification. There is an emphasis on knowledge. So my brothers and sisters, there is this tension. And so these two corridors, but as I prayed about it and thought about sharing with you, I want to ask you that if you had to produce a spiritual receipt, if you had to produce a receipt that would validate, that would verify, that would certify that you truly have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, would you be able to produce that receipt? Would you be able to produce proof of purchase? Would you be able to produce a receipt so that you would not be arrested? I'm afraid when I look around the ecclesiastical landscape, I fear that some of us are in danger of being arrested for spiritual shoplifting, or worse, bootlegging bogus goods that we have not paid for. But when we look at this text, and I never quite seen 1 Peter, this particular portion of the passage, in this light, but what Peter, who has this penchant for certainty and validation and assurance, does is provide us proof of purchase. And what was true of him is true of us today. This proof of purchase issue is important today. It's urgent. It's imperative that we address it, how appropriate it is to look at it on Palm Sunday. So I'm thanking Peter tonight, because when we look at these verses we read, Peter has provided. You know, if you go to Walmart or Sam's or Walgreens or Macy's, when you leave with a receipt, there's certain information that validates that receipt. And there's some information in this passage that validates this spiritual receipt. Are you all interested in knowing what's on the receipt? First of all, there is information that says that there is blood that covers us. Now we're living at a time in the church's life when people are getting skittish and squeamish about talking about blood. But our faith is a bloody religion. And here in this text, Peter says in verse 18, we have not been redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver or gold, from our vain conversation received from our fathers. But we have been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Like as of a lamb without spot or without blemish. If you have proof of purchase tonight, it will show that you are covered by the blood. When he says redeem, he uses the word in the Greek language, which means to buy back, which means to ransom from the slave market of sin. And the tense in the original means that this redemption takes place at a certain point and a certain time. That is the focus of the verb here. And he says you've been redeemed and you've been ransomed by the blood. But you have to be covered by the blood. Because membership does not necessarily infer relationship. Your receipt tonight ought to show you've been covered by the blood. Our ancestors had it right. They were not as sophisticated, as learned as we are, but they knew it. They knew you had to be covered. And we hear sometime during this season that song Easter sang in the hills and the hollows. I know it was the blood. I know it. Anybody else here tonight know it? I know it was the blood that saved me. One day I was lost and he died upon a cross. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood that saved me. Well, let's check our receipts out again. Not only should there be blood that covers us, there ought to be belief that compels us. Look in verse 21. Who by him do believe in God. Just underline that. Who by him through Jesus do believe in God. Children of God, those who have proof of purchase, are identifiable by their perceptive patterns, their cognitive capabilities, their mental mappings. Let me put it this way. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. This is so important and so imperative that Paul says in Ephesians, by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is through faith that grace comes into our experiences. Not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. And then over in Hebrews, the writer says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Your receipt ought to show that there's a belief or faith that compels you. Let me put it this way. Some of you still looking at me strange. Sight says, show me, and I'll believe you. But faith says, believe me, and I'll show you. Some of you still didn't get it. This is what faith says. If you flip over to Psalm 27, David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And faith says, if you flip down to stanza 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see. He said, believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. When you have proof of purchase, you're able to claim the job before you get it. When you have proof of purchase, you're able to pay the bill before the money comes. When you have proof of purchase, you're able to claim healing before the doctor shows up. When you have proof of purchase, the child is already home from the far country before he gets there. When you have proof of purchase, you know he may not come when you want him. But he's always on time. When you have proof of purchase, you'll be able to say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He said, who by him do believe in God? And then he says, that your faith and hope. All hope is faith standing tiptoe and looking out. And that's why I'm glad to sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but holy, lean on Jesus' name. Some of us in the church who say we got proof of purchase, we running around with our head hung down, running around like we've lost our big friend. crying, disappointed, weary, worn, and sad because we're looking at the glass half empty and not half full. When you're walking by faith, you know it's not a secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Your receipt ought to show that there's a belief that compels you, that there's blood that covers you. But let's check the receipt out a little more. There's behavior that commends us. When you have this spiritual receipt, this proof of purchase, there is behavior. We want to talk about belief, but we get quiet when we start talking about behavior. There's behavior that commends us. Notice how distinctly and uniquely this behavior is expressed in the text. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through unfeigned love of the brethren. The behavior at its essence involves how we treat one another. His brother in the ministry and apostleship, John, took it even a step further. He says, we know, in 1 John chapter 3, he says, we know, I'm talking about proof of purchase, that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And John said, how can you say you love God who you have not seen, and you hate your brother and your sister that you see every day? There was a religious survey done, 35,000 people surveyed in this country about their relationship to the church. What was obvious to me was the ascendancy of a new classification of Christian. And the writer, the researcher, called them nuns. Not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S. And nuns were people who had no church affiliation. Because what we're dealing with today is that we have people who want God, but they don't want the church. They want Christ, but they don't want community. They want friendship, but they don't want fellowship. They want accessibility and availability, but they don't want accountability. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you can't work this thing out by yourself. In community, we reflect the imago Deus. We are reflectors of God. And God is one in essence, but he's three in person. But he is a community. And isn't it interesting in the Genesis narrative that as God is creating with his very words the inanimate creation, he simply said, let. Let. Every time he said let, something leapt into existence. But when he gets to the sixth day and he's preparing to create ex nihilo out of nothing, who will be the reflectors of his glory, guess what he does? He convenes a council of his triune essence. And he says, let us make man. God is always calling us into community because he's a community. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Thank God today for his triune and plural essence. You see the blood that covers us, the belief that compels us, the behavior that commends us. But you ought to have on your receipt record that there's a birth that converts us. In verse 23, you can underline it being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. You must be. You got to be born again. If you don't believe me, go over to John chapter 3. Jesus said, listen, verily, verily, truly, truly, amen, amen. Except a man be born again, he or she cannot see the kingdom of God. My brothers and sisters, you got to be born again. You have to be born again. I don't know if the sun's going to get up tomorrow morning, but I've been born again. I don't know if I'm going to make it back to the hotel tonight, but I've been born again. Do I have a witness here? I don't have to ask mama about it. Don't have to ask brother about it. I know I've been changed. What a wondrous change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my life. There ought to be a birth that connects us. On December the 25th in Henry County, Tennessee, around the 50s, a baby boy was born. They have a birth certificate on record. I know I'm right about it because I ordered a copy from the Bureau of Statistics in Tennessee, but that's not the birth certificate that I'm counting on. That same little baby boy, 5 years later, at an old-time revival, sitting on the mourner's bench, gave the preacher his hand and gave the Lord his heart, and something happened on the inside. Now, you won't find that certificate recorded in Henry County, Tennessee. But I have it on good authority that when it happened, my name was written on the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, I know I've been changed. Do we have a witness here? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There ought to be a birth that connects us. But lest I keep you too long, there's one other thing. On your proof of purchase that you need tonight, you need to know that there's a blessing that confirms you. It says in the text, but the word of God endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you, my brothers and sisters. In this text, you miss something if you read it too fast. If you have a proof of purchase, it will show that you have a relationship to the Logos, because the first instance of word in the text is the word from which we get our word Logos. It's the same word that John uses when he opens his gospel and he says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And he goes down a few verses and he said, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John goes on to say, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In the text, the first time Peter uses the word word, it's a translation of Logos, the essence of God, the one who is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, the organizing principle of this whole universe, the one in whom all streams of truth converge. But if you flip down to verse 25, when he used the second instance of word, You got to get your concordance. It's not logos, but it's rhema. It moves from the abstract to the concrete, because a rhema word is a concrete word. A rhema word is when God moves into your experience. Some people can recite the logos of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. But they don't know the rhema of Psalm 23, because you gotta go through something. You gotta go through a storm. You gotta have an experience where the Lord shows up and he makes a way, not just somehow, but he makes a way anyhow. Do I have a witness? I thank God I have a logos word, but I'm real happy tonight. I got a rhema word, and the rhema word tells me everything is gonna be all right. Let me tell you this, and I'm through tonight. You see, I had a logos word a few months ago when I read Psalm 30 and 5. It said, the anger of the Lord endureth for a moment. But then it said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You see, it was the logos word. And all those years, it stayed on the logos level. All those years, I read Psalm 30. It was on the logos level, because I thought the way it worked is you have your weeping, you have your crying, you have your tears, you have your anguish, you have your disappointment, you have your frustration. And if you hold on, and if you hold out, joy would come in the morning. But one day, I was driving down I-57 on my way to Carbondale, Illinois, to preach at a conference, and the rhema word came into my spirit. You see, I was going through a difficult time. Tears were forming in my eyes. I knew the logos word, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning. But on I-57, God gave me a rhema word. God said, let me ask you something. Why do you think I am limited? Why do you think you got to cry and then have joy? I'm so good at what I do. You can have joy in the midst of the storm. Even while you're crying, you can have joy. Even while you're sick, you can have joy. Even while you're lonely, you can have joy. Even when you're unemployed, you can have joy. Whoever witness here, thank God I got proof of purchase. Is there anybody here got proof of purchase? Is there anybody here? Have you checked your receipt? Have you been saved? Have you been changed? Is God good? Is he able? Is he able? Is he able?
You have been listening to Advancing Word with Dr. T.D. Stubblefield. We pray that you have been encouraged with what your ears have heard and your hearts have felt. Explore our website at tdstubblefield.org. For more information about us and to obtain resources provided by T.D. Stubblefield Ministries. Until next time, be blessed and remember to stop stressing and start stepping, advancing in faith, hope, and love by reading and applying the Word of God, so you can stand on certain truth for uncertain times.